Welcome back to Friends Bible Study. We are beginning our study of John chapter 6 today. This chapter has 71 verses and is the longest chapter in John, so we will cover it in 2 weeks. As always, I suggest you pick out key verses as you read through this chapter each day of the week. I selected several key verses. One very famous verse is John 6:35, which I chose as one of the key verses. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This verse includes great promises and also echoes the main theme of Jesus' teaching in John chapter 6. I try to repeat important instructions and core principles of meditation on God's Word at the beginning of each session, one by one. Our simple plan is read, write, share, and listen. These are outlined in the updated Introduction to Friends Bible Study. During your time in the Word, please answer two or three meditation questions each day of the week. In addition, write your insights, observations, and reflections as you study and meditate on each passage. Also, answer the following two questions. What is God saying to me today? And how will I trust and obey Jesus today? The Holy Spirit is active as we read, study, pray, and meditate on a passage of Scripture. He illuminates, reveals, and helps us understand its meaning. He also speaks to us personally through this process. It is powerful when we share what God has shown us during our time with Him in His Word. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Father, thank you for the cross and for forgiving our sins. Thank you for your love and mercy. Open our eyes and our hearts to be able to understand and obey your words. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. Now let's look at John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. I will begin by describing the flow of this chapter. John 6 begins with the account of Jesus feeding 5,000 men, plus women and children, with 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. The people wanted to make Jesus their king, but he fled from them because their motives were not right, and it was not part of the Father's plan. Jesus sent the disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee in a small boat when a storm arose. Jesus came to them walking on the water. The crowd who had seen the miracle of the feeding of the multitude followed Jesus to the other side of the lake. The feeding of the 5,000 sets the stage for the Lord's teaching on the bread of life in John chapter 6. Jesus used the miracle of the multiplication of bread and fish to present himself as the bread of life. He urged them not to work for food that perishes, but for eternal food. Food that perishes cannot satisfy and cannot give eternal life. Jesus is the bread of life, and only he satisfies the deepest needs of the soul, and only he can give eternal life. The feeding of the 5,000 is the fourth sign that John recorded to prove that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. It is the only miracle besides Christ's resurrection that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. Now let's look at John 6, verses 1 to 15, beginning with verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover was near. The Sea of Galilee was named the Sea of Tiberias in AD 20 when Herod Antipas, in honor of the Roman Emperor Tiberius. The Jewish Passover festival was near. 3 Passovers had already been mentioned in this gospel. The first in chapter 2, verse 13. During which Jesus was in Jerusalem. The second is mentioned here, and the third in chapter 11, verse 55, during which Jesus was crucified. Verse 5, Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming to him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. The Lord's purpose in questioning Philip was to test him. Jesus knew that what he was intending to do, and it had nothing to do with buying bread. Jesus was testing Philip's faith in order to make his faith stronger. So how did Jesus test Philip? How are we like Philip, who said, even if we worked for 6 months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them? These are two of the meditation questions provided for this passage. Well, the crowd was approaching. Jesus asked Philip, where are we going to buy bread to feed all these people? Jesus wanted to know how Philip would respond. Verse 7, Philip answered, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Rather than focusing on Jesus, Philip's mental calculator began to do the numbers. All he could think about is how much it would cost to feed everyone there. Philip saw and evaluated the situation only through the eyes of human reasoning and human logic. "We don't have enough money to buy food for this crowd." Philip's conclusion was, "It is impossible to feed the crowd." But Philip did not understand that nothing is impossible with God. He only saw the possibilities according to human logic and analysis. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Since Jesus said that he could do nothing by himself, it seems reasonable to think that his Father had already told him what to do. This is the way Jesus did everything, as Jesus himself repeats again and again in the Gospel of John. He said this to test Philip. What kind of a test was it? I think it was to teach Philip about listening to the Father before using his mental calculator. Faith comes from hearing the Father and knowing how he is working. Many people today think we can figure out the situation and then accomplish God's work primarily by means of money. This is wrong. We can use our knowledge, abilities, and money, but first, we must look to the Father and discern his will. How is he working? What is he saying to us? If our vision is limited to our own finances and abilities, our faith will be in ourselves rather than in God. He can multiply our resources to do beyond what we can ask or think. This is what Jesus wanted Philip to understand. Philip had been with Christ and had seen several miracles. Jesus changed the water into wine, healed the son of the nobleman, and made the paralyzed man walk. Jesus wanted Philip to see beyond human resources and abilities and to see through the eyes of faith. Philip was a disciple of Jesus. Faith is a fundamental of discipleship. Jesus works in our lives in the same ways he worked in Philip's life to build our faith and to give us eyes to see from God's perspective that nothing is impossible with God. Verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Andrew reported to Jesus that his search had led him to one young boy with five barley loaves and two fish. Andrew did not seem to have faith that that food could be provided, but he brought the boy's lunch to Jesus. However, Andrew was skeptical. He gave Jesus the boy's lunch, but said, "What are these for so many people?" No one responded by affirming Jesus' power to provide. It is also interesting to think about the boy in the story. He was undoubtedly poor. To the world around him, he was insignificant. Yet that boy did something that set him apart from everyone else who may have been in the crowd that day. The boy gave his lunch to the Lord Jesus. What is insignificant to the world becomes significant when placed in the hands of Jesus. The world measures importance by wealth and success. People with power and money seem to be important, but God never measures things that way. God uses ordinary people who may seem insignificant to the world. He uses the weak and foolish to confound the strong and those who think they are wise. And God will use you if you place your hands into his, your life into his hands. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. It must have been an all-you-can-eat place. John mentioned the fact that Jesus gave thanks twice in this chapter in verses 11 and 23. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all state that Jesus looked up to heaven when he gave thanks. Jesus reminds us by this act that God is the source of all good gifts and that we should give thanks to thanks for all that he has given to us. If Jesus fed 5,000 men, how many people do you think were present, including women and children? This is another one of the meditation questions. I think Jesus must have fed at least 20,000 people, including men and women, including women and children. He wanted to teach his disciples that nothing is impossible with God. He wants us to look to him and to believe him. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, as it says in Hebrews 12:1. He is like a magnet that draws faith out of us when we look to him. Jesus asked Philip, "Where can we buy bread to feed this crowd?" Because he wanted Philip to learn about faith and the power of God. Jesus fed many thousands of people with the boys' lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Explain how he can use you with your limited resources. This is one of the meditation questions for you to think about. The obvious lesson is don't look only at your own resources, but look to God. Give what little you have to Jesus. He can bless it and multiply it to meet the tremendous needs around you. Whenever there is a need, give all that you have to Jesus and let him do the rest. Someone said, "We do not lack resources, we lack faith. By faith, he can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us," it says in Ephesians 3:20. Verse 12, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. The disciples gathered the leftover food and filled 12 baskets with the fragments that were left over by those who had eaten all that they wanted. This is an amazing display of God's abundant grace. God provides for all of our needs with abundance. As Paul said in Philippians 4:19, God will provide for all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Some think that the 12 baskets symbolize God's provision for the tribes of Israel. Another explanation is that the 12 baskets because there were 12 apostles. In any case, Jesus not only provided enough food to satisfy the hungry crowd, but provided the next day's meal for the disciples. He could meet the needs for all of Israel, for all of his disciples, and for all of us. Verse 14. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So another of the meditation questions is, why did Jesus reject the people's excitement about himself and their desire to make him king? The people saw the sign that the miracle, and said, "This is the prophet mentioned by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15, which says, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. These are the words of Moses. Nationalistic fervor was high. The people wanted a king who could deliver them from Rome's rule. They expected that the prophet and the Messiah would drive out their enemies and restore Israel's physical kingdom and glory. Perhaps Jesus' disciples had been infected with this thinking. Jesus put them on a boat and sent them out into the sea. It seems he was trying to teach them something about faith as well. Very few want to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord. Many want him only as healer and provider, or the one who rescues them from the problems they have made for themselves. As we discussed when we covered John 5, 39, and 40, many will even study the Bible diligently, but refuse to come to Jesus to receive life. Jesus knew the mindset and motivation of the crowd. They had eaten and were full, but did not hunger after the bread of life, as we will see in the next passage. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you teach us how to have faith. Give us a heart that looks to you rather than calculating by our human abilities and resources. Help us to see what you're doing and join you in your work. We do have limited resources, but like the young boy who offered his lunch to you, we offer our lives to you and believe that you can use each one of us by your grace and mercy. Amen.